Well, Grandpa, I said, told him his story, and then he said, well, I'm going on back to Memphis. He said, I'm going to put a new chapter in my book. Now, I've already written a book. And by the way, he said, I've got a copy of my book. I'll leave it with you. And he left Grandpa a copy of his book. Well, he went on. In 10 days, he was dead. Old man, old Judge Bates died. And I don't know what became of the body. I just don't know. Somebody said it went to the Smithsonian Institute. Some people said it was sent to Enid, Oklahoma. And I just don't know what became of the body. But now, when I was years ago, this is nothing new. You know, it's been claimed for years that the man killed up there wasn't Booth, you know. I read an article in, I think it was in the Saturday Evening Post when I was a young man. That's been over 50 years ago. The story of a man purporting to tell the story of, and had a picture of John Wilkes Booth. I can see it right now. Saying that he wasn't killed in Virginia, that was the man that killed up there was a man that had been associated with him, but that Booth made his escape. And this was put a good sized article on. So really this fellow's story wasn't anything new. And that's the story that connected with this old house over there. That's one story. Another story was that it wasn't a story, but the man that was one of General Lee's corps commanders during the Civil War, General Jubal Early, he stayed over there with him 10 or 12 days when the Yankees had a reward out for him. See, he didn't sign the Oath of Allegiance when Lee surrendered to Appomattox. General Lee had displaced him and put Joseph E. Johnson in his place as a corps commander of one of his armies in Northern Virginia. And they told him at the time that it wasn't on account of his inability or anything like that, the professional deficiency, but that he, on account of civilian pressure, they were wanting him to stand and fight, and General Early wouldn't stand and fight because he didn't want his men to be slaughtered. They were ill dressed. They didn't have much ammunition. They just weren't in a position to stand and fight a fight, and he just falling back all the time. They wanted him to stand and fight. And so General Lee relieved him. And he, making his way south, he got here to the bus place, wanting to get across the river. And they kept him over there. But he was traveling under his own name to Grandpa. He told Grandpa who he was. See, my grandfather was staunch Southern sympathizer, and Abraham Lincoln's name was anathema in this country at that time. Now, since he's gotten to be a hero, you know, and I think well of him myself, but my folks didn't. They would have done anything to help against Lincoln or just Lincoln's cause, because they were grandfather right out of a Yankee prison, 16-year-old boy, and he said, they talk about Andersonville, how they treated our prisoners, how we treated the Yankee prisoners. Said, we didn't reason we treat them like we did. We didn't have anything to feed them on. Said, they had plenty to feed that I was on, but wouldn't do it. Said, they starved me to death just because I wasn't getting the Southern prisoners of war wasn't the Yankee prisoners of war wasn't getting food. Said, they didn't have anything to feed them on. Said, we offered to try to swap trade prisoners, and they wouldn't do it. And said, we just did the best we could. Well, anyway, General Early went, Uncle Charlie got him across the river, and he went on from Mexico to Texas and Mexico and then to Canada and wrote his memoirs in Canada. And we've got a copy of that in our family here now. He sent Grandpa a copy of his memoirs.